The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Some Greeks who had come to worship at the Passover feast came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Amen, amen, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there also will my servant be. The Father will honor whoever serves me. I am troubled now, yet what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? But it was for this purpose that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd there heard it and said it was thunder, but others said an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered and said, "This voice did not come for my sake, but for yours. Now is the time of judgment on this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself." He said this, indicating the kind of death he would die. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning. I want to begin today by asking a question, and just think about this in your heads. Have you, at some point in your lives, and assuming it is still effective now, have you made a decision that you are going to live for God? And not for yourself. Some of you might think, well, that's a weird question to ask. You know, I was raised in a Catholic family, and we just were taught that that's what we should do. But I would ask you, even if that be the case, even if you had that great blessing, as not all of us had, of being raised in not just a nominally Catholic family, but one that actually prays together and goes to church every Sunday, and but even if that was your situation, you know, there's still a point when you have to say to yourself, we have to make a conscious decision that I am going to live the kind of life in which I seek and strive after what God wants, to do what God wants, and not what I want. And again, perhaps the second part of that question is, if I have made that decision at some point in my life, is it still effective? Has it been effective? Is it still in play in my life now? And perhaps another question, if the answer to that first question was no, perhaps the second question is, why not? And when will I start? Our Lord today in the Gospel talks about just this. And he uses this example of wheat. And I did a little bit of research on wheat and growing wheat and planting wheat. I did a little bit of research for this homily because I don't know much about any of these kinds of things. I grew up in Montgomery County. And I figure many of you in Charles County probably know a lot more about this than I do. But one of the interesting things about wheat, of course, is that, as our Lord says, just a grain of wheat, if just a grain falls to the ground and dies, you know, which is what is actually, when you think about it, it's actually what happens to it when it falls to the ground. It is falling off of the stalk. It's falling off of its source of life, from which it grew itself. It's falling into the ground, it's dying, and it actually begins to decompose. That's how it begins to sprout its roots and to grow. And there's a certain death that has to occur in order for this fruit to grow, you know, in order for it to produce much fruit. And one of the things I kind of discovered about wheat, many of you probably already knew this, but it can grow like anywhere in the world practically, and just a little bit will produce like a huge amount. So this example is very appropriate that our Lord is using, and certainly one with which he was familiar. But he says, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it simply remains just any old grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. Now, immediately after he says that, he says, whoever loves his life loses it. And whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for eternal life. Now, when we put this into context and we understand what he's saying here, he's saying to not try to do your own will, not to stick to the things of this world, to be clingy to worldly things. That's what he's talking about, hating your life. He doesn't mean that we should all commit suicide, of course. He means hating any attachment to the things of this world. Elsewhere, he says, you know, unless you, suffer and die for my sake. You know, so what he's getting at here is, are we living for ourselves, or are we living for God? Have we made that decision to die to self and to live for someone else, for God? And he himself has done this. Let's remind ourselves of this. Jesus Christ himself has done this. When we think of Christ's own death, immediately we think of its culmination on the cross. But something to think about, brothers and sisters, is that Christ's death on the cross was really a culmination of many, many deaths to self over and over and over again. This is what the author to the Hebrews is saying in our second reading here, that Christ learned obedience from what he suffered, that he was made perfect. We think, well, he's God, yes, but he's also fully man. He's also a human being. And still was caught up with, was still tempted by the devil. We heard about that the first Sunday of Lent, when he was tempted by the devil. So Christ himself had to learn to constantly put his own will to death, to mortify his own self for the sake of living for someone else. So lest we think that perhaps Christ is asking us to do something that he himself has not done, let's remember that Christ has himself lost his life for God the Father, for his Father, and in doing so has preserved it for eternal life and has saved all of us. And we think about the great fruit that is born of Christ's death on the cross, namely our salvation, our eternal redemption, our eternal life with him and his Father in heaven. It's important for all of us to ask ourselves that question that we asked in the beginning, and to really think about it. Have we made that conscious decision to live for God? Because there are too many people, and one is too many, there are too many people, especially in the Catholic Church, who are nominally Catholic, you know, who might even go to church every Sunday and kind of do it as a, you know, punch my card, I was at church. There are too many people like that. And a part of me wants to say, well, thank God they're at least coming to church. You know, that's something. And yes, that is something. And certainly the Lord will work with that. But the Lord doesn't just want us to come to church for an hour each week. He wants us to die to ourself. Why? So that once dead to ourself, we can grow and be that abundant fruit that he wants us to be, that he's calling us to be, and in many cases, brothers and sisters, that he is depending on us to be in order for him to reach others. That if we don't die to self, other people's eternal salvation might be on the line. He is counting on each and every one of us to reach so many others. And we may not want to even fathom what would happen should we fail in that task. How many people would not be reached by him through us? I'll wrap up with a little story. We would have these conferences at the seminary periodically, and there was a priest who had celebrated his 50th anniversary of ordination, very holy priest. And he gave a talk, and at the end of the talk, we were given the chance to ask questions. And one of the seminarians had asked him a question. They said, "Monsignor, when did you decide to be a priest?" And of course, what they were getting at was, you know, how old were you? What, you know? And you know what he said? He said, "This morning." He said, "This morning I decided to be a priest." And that's always kind of stuck with me, because that applies not just to the priesthood, that applies to being a Catholic Christian. When did you decide to die to self for life in Christ? When did you decide? And I don't want us to just point to our baptism and say, "Well, I was baptized, that's death to self, right?" Well, yes, that is. That's the beginning of what should be a whole lifetime of dying to self. Remember, brothers and sisters, conversion is a daily process. But let's remind ourselves of that today, that God wants us to bear much fruit. And there is always a certain fear in letting go from the things of this world. There's always a certain fear in wondering, am I going to be happy if I do what God wants and not what I want? Because on the surface, it looks like I'm not going to be happy. Am I going to be truly fulfilled if I live for God and live His will? And we look at it and we say, "Well, that's going to be hard. Look at what that requires." But brothers and sisters, there's a certain adventure in jumping into that, in diving into that, and knowing that God has our best interests in mind, that God is never going to call us to something that He is not going to give us the grace to live out. And so I invite all of us today to renew our commitment to Christ, to renew our commitment to daily allow ourselves to die to self so that we may live for God.